And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Squamish, Seychelles, on the ferry, Montpellier, we would love to know that you're listening out there wherever you are. And especially if you're local, because you're the greatest beneficiaries learning about all of the amazing things that go on in our community. It is 2:59 here at Coast Community Radio. This is Carol, your host for Arts Live and Local. Tomorrow night is Astoria Art Walk, and I'm going to give you a good taste of it this time. Right now, though, I want to start with some music from Swing Fever. That's right. They are the Water Music Festival presentation for tonight. Enjoy and stay tuned to your community radio station. Make a dedication today, this show, because we, especially those of us who live here, know a lot about rain. A lot of other places are desperately in need of rain. And at this time of year, we call for rain, for a blessing, for balance, especially now. The holiday of Shmini Atzeret was yesterday, and it is dedicated to the prayer for rain. And though it's already raining here, we have a lot to pray about. And prayer is energy, thought, vibrations, a lot. Rain to put out the fires in North California and Oregon. Calming of the tropical storms, gentle, sustaining rain for the African and Middle Eastern lands overwhelmed by famine, strong, cold storms with snow, ice, thunder, and lightning in the polar regions where it belongs. May the Creator of mercy bring wind and rain for a blessing, not for destruction. And may the flow of life continue. Thank you. Yeah, that's tonight. Swing Fever at the watermusicfestival.org. You can find them. And that's at the Inn in El Waco. Yeah. It's an incredible weekend, folks. There is so much going on. My head is spinning. And I'm not new to this, but this weekend really may take the cake. So far. My first guest also takes the cake. Because for me, she has articulated so many things that ring true for me in terms of the arts. The power to connect humanity through the profound ability to recognize love, beauty, sorrow, compassion. The emotive qualities as the backbone of her work. And now I will read something. More than ever, in a world seeped in what seems unending anguish, Bethany Rowland brings us a new series of acrylic paintings, Hope in Another, portraying through definitive gesture and mark making a shared sense of place, the visible, the remembered, the forgotten, the visible and the invisible, the imagined and the numinous. Practicing an intuitive process, she depicts the power and sometimes quiet beauty of both landscape and its wildlife. As she began preparing for her third solo exhibition, yes, you are going to hear from Bethany directly, but I just love what was written, so I stole it. She found herself considering the natural world, a place she returns to like a migratory bird, returning to its place of origin, where she seeks refuge and space to heal, offering a sense of renewal and inspiration. The paintings become metaphorical windows reflecting those moments of peace, which in turn bring comfort and guidance. Her goal is to offer, through the vehicle of visual art, a path to move forward with grace, kindness and compassion from places of grief, despair, and uncertainty. Within her own need to make sense out of senseless acts, she began to ask herself, where does hope reside? How do we make the unbearable become bearable? How do proximity and attention help us to care and act? What does it mean to really see another? How do we become the hope for those who cannot survive without our protection? So, whew, I hope you are as empowered by that image as I have been over the years, actually. So, welcome, Bethany Rowland.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
I'm so delighted. Bethany has been on the air before, but I've missed her each time. So I'm delighted that this time we get to meet, and I'm very much looking forward to the show, which opens tomorrow evening at Imogen Gallery on 11th and Marine Drive during Astoria Art Walk, 5 to 8. I have a suspicion that the show will be up earlier, and so if you are here for the day, go on by when it's perhaps quieter even, and you can stand in front of your favorite painting for 15 minutes instead of feeling the rush. So, Bethany, where did all of this come from? Has art always been your
passion.
Way of, your passion and your way of facing life?
Well, actually, the answer to that is no. I started out as a, you know, a lot of artists start out, you know, being good drawers or very much into the arts. And my thing was being in nature, being with my dog. I lived in the suburbs and I couldn't have a horse. I ended up with a goat.
Okay.
So I spent many, many hours in the woods with my animal. And I was on a track to back in the day. I remember the Marlboro commercials. I was going to live in Marlboro Country and raise horses.
Oh, wow.
And
where did you grow up?
In Seattle. Rainy Seattle. Nothing to do with Marlboro Country. I was always, I liked to draw, but it was not a passion.
Were you doing something else? Did you study something else?
Well, I'm actually a psychiatric nurse practitioner with a psychotherapy practice in Portland, Oregon. And I've always, since I started showing my work in 2013, thanks to Terry Sund at Imogen, I've always kind of kept that hidden. People could find that out if they Google me, but feeling like a lot of artists do, if you're not a full-time artist, you feel a little bit like you're not quite there. And we might as well get this out of the way. I never went to art school.
I'm loving this because it also fills out the rest of the picture, except for the part about how did you get into the
art. Okay.
Yeah.
So living in Portland, Oregon, I was actually going through a divorce, and I was at a time in my life when a friend introduced me to Phil Sylvester at the drawing studio in Portland, Oregon. And Phil, I like to tease him and say, Phil, you've taught me everything and nothing. No still lifes, no color theory, nothing like that. I'm not diminishing him, and I think he would appreciate this. A lot of wandering around the room, quoting from Picasso or someone, and just letting people draw from an emotional perspective, like what's coming out of you. And we did use models. We did draw from precedents. And I did charcoal for 10 years, just taking classes.
Was part of it giving you the space and the understanding that this is something valid that might feel good?
Absolutely. And, I do have a perfectionistic streak, and Phil was the perfect teacher for me. And I would say in my painting now, I've been painting for about 15 years. Mm-hmm. And I do believe in the 10,000 hours, you get better.
Right.
You really need to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I'm very drawn to the subject matter I use is nature, a lot of
and
animals.
Wildlife. Yeah.
Wildlife,
yeah.
And
birds.
A lot of birds. And I've had experiences with birds. I'm not an ornithologist, and I know some things about birds, but I'm drawn to them in their wisdom. They've been around as the form we know them for 60 million years. And for example, I had a peregrine falcon visit me at my downtown Portland office near Powell's Bookstore for 4 hours.
Wait a second. As a patient or what?
Oh, no. There was no couch sitting.
Oh, okay.
She was on the balcony. But my last show in Portland with Brian Markey Gallery, he's since moved to Palm Springs, but was called Migrant. And it was devoted to that experience with the peregrine
well,
falcon.
You adopt an emotion.
It was a profound experience.
Yeah.
I'd never been that close to a wild creature for so long. And that show, and this is sort of how my current show developed, which is when I start painting, I don't, this show came from a place of, I wouldn't say I was at the verge of despair, but I think I share collectively what we're all feeling.
Yeah, you mentioned the focus on our broken world.
Yeah.
And I think we do. Yeah.
And artists have their own particular way to work through that. If I was a musician, maybe I'd be writing music. As a painter, I found myself painting things that give me comfort and that I knew something about. But I think if you're honest in the painting process, and this is a little bit about the Phil Sylvester coming out, is, I feel like the paintings happen in spite of me, that part of me that says it has to look a particular way.
Ah, that's why you mentioned the perfectionism.
Yes.
And
in my paintings, I do allow a little bit of that in because my paintings are a combination of abstraction and representation, which means very loose. Often I'll start with a very abstract, you know, making marks on the paper I use clayboard with paint, and then just sit with it and see if an image comes forward. Now, sometimes I'll use a photograph, which I feel okay about.
And you use brushes.
I use brushes.
Okay. Because I noticed you used the word mark making, and I've heard that recently, but 3 years ago I never heard of it.
Oh, well, mark making can be in the, I use acrylic paint. I wish I could use oil, but they make my, I would die because they make my throat close up.
Okay.
So
your body knows.
Yeah.
Your body's smart.
Mark making, you can use drawing implements on top of the acrylic. It's a very forgiving medium and versatile, really versatile.
So is that what you do? Do you lay down color and then draw with
I don't often draw the image because I get, I'm not a draftsman. I don't do a good job with that. I feel like and this is where just staying with the process, and actually if I allow myself to be loose,
it comes.
Then it can come forward. And, you know, I think sometimes we have a tendency or a temptation like, this painting isn't turning out the way I want it. So I'm going to get rid of it, scrape. I paint over it.
So I have a question. Since you mentioned that perfectionism, and so many of us have that disease, I wonder whether the painting process has affected other parts of your life in allowing you to sort of relax certain things, not necessarily your professional life, but other.
Well, my husband would say otherwise.
Okay.
Because there's a dose of perfectionism and anxiety, worrying about this, that, and everything else. I think there's plenty of things to worry about in the world, though, right now.
Well,
And to maybe answer your question, having the means to express what we're feeling allows us to metabolize and cope with what may feel like this is unbearable. And to say a little something about my intentions when I'm working on a show, I knew I wanted the title of the show to be Hope in Another. And I actually was inspired by Kathleen Dean Moore, who's a wonderful nature writer, philosopher, climate change activist, and grandmother. Her latest book called Great, or one of her latest books, Great Tide Rising, she speaks of a motet of 40 frogs listening to frogs, and it reminded her of Thomas Tallis' motet called from the 16th century called Spem in Allium, which is actually a reference to Judith in the Bible, kind of appealing to God. I have hope in no other but you, God. I expanded that to be
hope.
Another is humanity. It's nature. Anything that has a spirit or a soul, we all need each other. We need to protect each other.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, there is one of your paintings. I believe it's in this show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would like you, if you would, tell us a little bit about how that came about, dedicating it to
Talesian.
Talesian.
Yes. So, first, a little bit about how I title my paintings. I don't have a title in mind when I work. My process is to paint, and I've got a number of birds, some coyotes,
sheep.
And when I'm all done, I sit with the paintings and just allow whatever comes up to see how am I inspired, and that can take hours, can take a day. It's a long process. One particular painting was actually of this peregrine falcon, and it's quite large. It's 36 by 48.
Oh.
I sat with her, and the only title that came to me was Tell Everyone on This Train I Love Them, which is a quote from Talesian, and I'm sorry I can't pronounce his full name. He is one of the three men who protected the young women on the MAX train in Portland in May of this year. He was slain, as well as Ricky Best, and a father of children. young children. And another man, Micah Fletcher, had his throat slashed, but he survived.
Yes.
So Talesian was attended to by a woman who reported to his family and to the media that as he lay dying, he said, "Tell everyone on this train I love them." That was so moving when I heard it. I didn't know Talesian at all. Mm. I ride the MAX to work every day. Mm-hmm. That's my stop where he mm-hmm. died. So I felt as many did. I mean, there's still a memorial there, and hopefully something more will be done. So as it turns out, my husband knows Talesian's sister, and I asked permission of the family if she would check with her family if it would be all right to use this as the title, telling him it was going to be in the show. And she wrote back to me and said, "Absolutely, of course." And I want to give you something that his sister Kriya said to me. Love is a far more powerful place for motivation and change than anger or sorrow. And I have since met Talesian's mother, Asha Deliverance, and met Kriya in person. And the stories of Talesian and actually what's happened since his murder, in terms of he was protecting an African-American woman and then a young, both of them were young teenage girls, and one was in a hijab. So it happened on Ramadan. Just the ripple effect of how that in very positive ways has brought people together. So I wanted to remember Talesian and his act and his words in my show.
Well, I really appreciate it. It's a beautiful painting also. And I have his name. I will attempt it, Talesian Mirdin Namkai Mechi. And I think all of the local people in Oregon are aware of that happening. And I so appreciate that you have now brought that painting is in this show.
Yes. It's actually hanging in the window. So even if the gallery's closed, you'll be able to see it.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
My guest, Bethany Rowland, I don't think I need to say any more. Don't miss the show. Bethany will be here tomorrow night. Am I right?
At the opening, yes.
At the opening, yes. Which is 5 to 8 at Imogen Gallery on 11th, just south of Marine Drive. And her show, Hope in Another, will run until November 7th. If you can't make it tomorrow night, then come by any time or check Imogen Gallery, and some of her work is on the news letter, probably on the website, and I highly recommend that you keep in touch. So thank you so much, Bethany.
Thank you for this opportunity.
I'm very much looking forward to seeing the show.
Thank you.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
Some music for you. Let's see, what have I got here? Oh, the Sugar Thistles. They're going to be at the Winecraft tomorrow evening in Astoria, right here. You're hearing this on Coast Community Radio.
Stories begin to
Wow. That was fun. That was fun. And that was the Sugar Thistles. And they are going to be at Winecraft, which is at the foot of 10th Street and the water. The water. And, no, that's Dimitri and Zoe. It's their band. What fun. And they are, do you guys know Dimitri and Zoe by any chance?
I think so.
Yeah, probably. I think you would know them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not Danielle.
No.
Danielle's going to know everybody by the time she's done.
It's true. I'm going to need, we kind of ran out of time. Yeah. Okay, that works. Or just pull it towards pull you. This works too. Yeah, you're fine.
Okay.
Okay. So you see, we have a very full program here.
I keep seeing all these people walk in.
I know.
And I know. Jennifer Goodenberger?
Yes, yes. Jennifer is on too. Well, that's because you've been around.
I have.
It's true. The last person was Bethany. Now I have Bonnie. It's confusing, all these B-B-B-E's names. But Bonnie Gorsuch is here, and many of us know Bonnie, including my dog, my last dog, Duke, knew Bonnie. Also, Bonnie gave him one of his favorite names. That was 3-4 years ago. So Bonnie just came off a fat. Are you done with the residency, or are you still climbing around in the garbage?
I am done with that part.
Okay, now you're putting stuff together.
Nope, done with that.
Oh, okay, then hold off. Let me introduce. I just wanted to get my facts right. Bonnie, you've heard about this, Astoria Visual Arts and Recology. That is our fabulous local, although it's actually a program that goes all over the place, but we have our own local Recology, and they deal with garbage. And so Astoria Visual Arts, in its ever-extending creative minds, with an S on the end, decided to pull together the Coastal Oregon Artist Residency, or CORE. Oh, I hear music. Don't know who that is, but whoever it is, it sounds good. And so last year, we had two amazing artists come in and talk on Arts Live and Local. And then they put on a show that was beyond three-dimensional. And now Bonnie Gorsuch has just come off 3 months literally, as far as I know, climbing around in the garbage and the dump. And oh, she's got her protective vest, which it flashes. You know she's there, Recology Western Oregon, Waste Zero. Speaking of Waste Zero, we have our Waste Zero specialist here. You know, I wrote that on the chart, and I wondered what people were going to read that as. Waste Zero? What does that mean? Danielle Gamboge.
That's it.
Is here. And she is actually the manager of Recology in Seattle. Is that right? Of the Artist in Residence program in Seattle.
Yes.
So how long has that been going on, Danielle?
In Seattle, we've been doing it for 3 years. The Artist in Residence program started in San Francisco in 1990, though. So they've been running it down there for about 27 years.
Wow. Wonderful. Well, and ours is just, this is just our second. But, hey, we're on a roll now. Did you have fun, Bonnie?
I had so much fun. And I keep talking to people today and this week that I've been talking about the project. And all of a sudden, there's so much more people that are interested in applying for the program.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the first and second year, it's just like, oh, no, I'll just wait to see how it goes.
Right.
But now all
right.
of a sudden, it's like, I'm applying for that this year, next
well,
year.
Well, now, I have to say, though, or I'll let you say, Bonnie, although you didn't get to climb around in garbage, you have been an upcycler. That term still makes me go, what? recycle upcycler for a long time. A lot, much of your textile art is stuff. Isn't that right?
It is correct. I was telling Danielle and Stephen Shoemaker at coffee today.
Hi, Stephen. Stephen Shoemaker is standing here with a camera over our heads.
He's an amazing photographer that now lives in the area in Napa.
Oh, good.
And anyway, I first did this kind of work 25 years ago when they were tearing the roof off our house in Eugene. Oh, and wow. So that's my first entree into discarded, recycled art on my old shingles from our Sears and Roebuck kit house.
So, but that wasn't working with fabric at that time.
It was not. When I moved to Cannon Beach, our good friend, who you know as well, Margot Lalich, asked me to please design her wedding invitation. And so I did that using fabric, and then I went into this whole next few years of fabric collages. And then when I got the grant from the Cannon Beach Arts Association, then I got into fabric wearable art for like the last 9 years. And now I've just gotten off this residency with a story of visual arts and recology. And now all of a sudden, full circle, I'm back to junk, trash, found object art.
Well, life has a way of...
But on a huger scale.
Yeah. So, let's tell folks, this is also part of Art Walk. And you've been hearing about it all day, actually. It's been lots of good things and all true, I am sure. The name of the show is Junk, Elevated, which is very cute. And the showing is going to be at the Astoria Vintage Hardware, which is 1162 Marine Drive. And it is from 5 to 8, but at 6 o'clock, there will be an artist, that would be Bonnie, led gallery walk through. I haven't been, I must admit, to the new Vintage Hardware, so I'm not really sure what this is going to look like. Is your work sort of situated in and among other stuff? Is that how it's placed?
Well, Vintage Hardware has 10,000 square feet.
Oh, my God.
Yay!
Wow.
And it's all on a stage right now near the center cash register area. And it's got an old doors backdrop. And 11 of the pieces are actually hanging on those doors. There are two pieces that are on the floor. Mm-hmm. They're floor pieces. And then there are two pieces that are on tables.
So when you were and Danielle, you've had more experience with this with other artists as well. So please pitch in on this, because I'm wondering, when you were climbing around, did you step back or maybe stand on a ladder like Stephen over here on a chair, or maybe he's just tall again. Oh. I just realized that.
Tall and handsome.
And definitely, and young. Let's make sure everybody realizes.
Sorry, Richard.
Yeah. did you sort of step back and try to get an overview of stuff, or is there a particular area that you tackled each day, or what's the process?
I was really attracted to the metal section because they have separate bins for the metal. Mm-hmm. And I loved the metal section because it was easier to pick through. And I was also very attracted to the wood pile because, again, it was easier to pick through. And I like to use wood as the base for what I do. And so, but then I was also attracted to the big giant pile of garbage there, the transfer station, and what I normally look for are colorful things.
Hmm. Yes, you do.
I love color.
Yes, that is your. And you should see her right now, folks.
Yeah.
Go on.
And so I'm very attracted to colorful, weirdo kind of pieces. And even as you're walking along the floor at the place, there's like, oh, I see a smashed bottle cap. And so I picked up a lot of bottle caps and even coins. I like coins from other countries, mm-hmm. and our own coins.
Do you wear heavy gloves when you're doing this work?
Is that they give you a uniform. Yeah. Maybe Danielle can talk about the uniform.
Yeah. I'm going to give Danielle a couple of minutes.
Sure.
I'm looking at the clock and I'm like, holy cow, I didn't realize it was. Well, no, I have two other guest sets out there. So Danielle, how does this differ? Did you see our setup here?
I haven't seen it in person, but I know quite a bit about it. It it is a bit different from our program up in Seattle. In Seattle, our artists work out of a material recovery facility, so it's just recyclables that are coming through the facility. And so we have a large tip floor that our trucks come in and dump the recyclables on. And so just to your point about kind of taking that overlook at all the materials that come in, our artists typically stand, you know, on the sort line that's maybe 20 or 30 feet up in the air and are able to get this kind of bird's eye view. But they also they spend time going out onto the floor itself. So kind of getting that in-person, down-on-the-floor experience, but also looking at it from a higher level.
Right, right. That's what I was thinking I would need, because otherwise I'd probably disappear into the pile.
Definitely.
Never to be seen again or something. I don't know.
Well, that's why we do a multi-month residency. Our residency in Seattle is 5 months, because we find that the artists typically need a couple weeks to at least to kind of get their arms around what type of material is coming in.
Right.
And then they get a sense of, oh, this is something that comes in a lot, or this is something that's a rare find.
Interesting concept. Yeah, the rare versus the common. I'm planning to invite Bonnie to come to my house and make art out of all the stuff that's lying around. But we'll talk about that later. So how do you feel about this process, this way of doing it, versus what you've been doing all along? Has this moved you in another direction, or moved you ahead, or what?
It's moved me ahead. I have phase two coming up, which will be called More Junk, Elevated. And I actually bought a welder with some of the money that I got from this phase. So my phase two will be including welding. And I've got two, maybe three shows lined up for 2018 that are along the same lines.
Fabulous.
So thanks to Astoria Visual Arts and Recology for offering this, because it totally took me to a really fun, amazing level that I had long forgotten about.
Well, you're pretty unstoppable. And not pretty, you're unstoppable. I'm going to say that. And you're also a great model. Many of our local people and beyond are familiar with your son, Sterling, who's printmaking, and it's fabulous. And I'm not letting that go. That doesn't go with the show. And you have another son also involved in the arts, Color.
Yep.
Yeah. So you've been a role model for the younger people, as well as just so dynamic in your own movement. What allowed you to think about applying for this?
Last year, when I saw Sean and Don had gotten it, I was like, darn, how did I miss that? And I was like, okay, mental note, 2017, in May, look for it.
Good.
I got on
you.
The AVA mailing list. Yeah. I applied by June 1st, and then I got interviewed and got it.
Yeah. Well, it was a terrific pick. You are a terrific choice. Very much looking forward. Okay, folks, you'll hear more about it later today, but Astoria Vintage Hardware, 1162 Marine Drive, from 5 to 8. It will be open for this. Is the work going to stay there beyond that? Yeah, good, good. So if you can't get there tomorrow night, but tomorrow night is obviously the best time. And at 6 o'clock, there's the artist-led gallery walk. And of course, you know, with Art Walk, there's always food and drink and merriment as well.
And Jeffrey Reynolds will be playing his instrument for us tomorrow night.
Great. Excellent. Danielle, I know I didn't give you much time to talk, but I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you for having
me. And thanks for giving us a little background on the fact that we are the newbies in this area. So
absolutely.
Wonderful. Again, Bonnie Gorsuch with Astoria Visual Arts and Recology, the Coastal Oregon Artist Residency. And check it out, folks, AstoriaVisualArts.org, and learn more about how you can apply for next year. Okay, thanks so much, and congratulations, Bonnie.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you. We got some more music here, and then I've got lots more guests coming. Well, only two, but they have lots more to talk about. And in the meantime, what you're listening to right now is actually Schubert's Trout Quartet, which you can hear tomorrow evening as part of the Water Music Festival. And that is at the Ledbetter Farms. And again, Water Music Festival, check it out Saturday night and Sunday. Have a listen. Again, that's Schubert's Trout Quartet. I have to be careful because I do have a professional musician in the studio with me right now who is not going to be on the air for another few minutes, but she can hear everything that goes on. My guest right now, though, is... Jill McVarish. And if you live around here again, these names should be ringing bells, folks. Jill has been showing at Riversea for how many years?
I'm going to say almost six.
Is that right? Yeah. And did you work there for a while as well?
I sure did, yeah. I used to hang the shows.
Right, right. And Jill is unique. As in my experience, because she is, well, you know, this is funny. The two people I have right here, the two women who are sitting right here, are both trained classically, and then they went off and did their own thing. One is in music. Okay, I'll let you know. It's Jennifer Goodenberger, and she will be coming up. But Jill also has this, when you look at her art, the first thing you see is a classical... It feels, everything about it feels as though it's from the greats. And then you start looking and you go, wait, what is that mouse doing there? What is that broken? And it's totally amazing. Her irreverence is high and mighty, and I love it. The name of the show is Not Night at the Haunted Big Top, which... is also a very important topic. We were talking about nature and animals earlier. This is a two-person show with Dave Benz of Benson Chang. Is that what his official name?
Yeah, he's got a studio name.
Right, in Portland. So tell us about this show. I was particularly, because the word circus jumped out at me, and I went, my heart stopped for a minute because this is a big topic in my life. And then I read what you wrote, and I said, yes, okay, the glamour, glitz, and grit of the circus, but the darker and surreal aspects. Tell us.
Okay, well, two things. One is... this year is the year that the circus closed.
The year that the Ringling Brothers,
Barnum and Bailey,
unfortunately
closed their doors.
Unfortunately, yeah. There are a lot of small circuses, including one that is coming to Astoria.
There's some fantastic new incarnations of the circus.
No, the good circuses, the people circuses, are the fantastic ones. But there are still animal ones that are...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, we can talk about that later. I'll let you know. But that's one of the things I
saw. So that's one reason to have the show this year. And then I guess to describe the theme, I should start by describing Dave Benz's work, which is Benz and Chang is an old-time photo studio that all of his work is under the premise that it's being produced out of this, like, turn-of-the-century, 1920s old photo studio. And when you look at his pieces, they're really just ink paintings with walnut ink, but they're so tightly rendered that... And then they're framed in old vintage frames that you, from a distance, you really believe that you're looking at a vintage photograph. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then when you get closer, his subjects are really strange. They're almost like there's a haunting going on or something supernatural going on in the room, something a little bit scary and different. And... So starting with that, he does each piece like based on a certain year, and then he'll write circa this particular year. So all the clothes will be from this year, and everything fits into the having happened in this year. And so based on his kind of propensity toward dark things and the periodness of it, the way everything's kind of taken place in like 1920-something or 1930, then thinking back on like strange, gritty things, the circus is just, that was back when the circuses were still like traveling by caravan, and you know, this was a pretty wild and surreal adventure on its own, and the work seemed to fit perfectly into that.
Well, your description of his work also, though, I can see why you two are an excellent match, because again, people would walk in and think they were in a classical situation and then start looking at the details. I am not familiar with his work, but from what you're saying, yes, and that's how I feel about yours, because it's so beautifully rendered, and then I start seeing the quirkiness in it, which absolutely delights me each time. So, but this was interesting that was he also involved in the circus theme or no?
He's done some work that's also got a little bit more on the haunting side than the circus side, where mine's not so much with the haunting and more in the circus and the grit. And
right. Well, circus is pretty haunting. Now that we know, when we were kids, we loved all that stuff. When we found out what goes on behind the scenes, we went, uh-oh, there's a problem here. Maybe let's see these fabulous people do all that trapeze and stuff. Let's not torture the animals. But it is the month of October.
It is.
And so
Friday the
13th. Oh, I keep forgetting that. It's true. It's true. And you are opening tomorrow evening at the River Sea Gallery, which is on Commercial and between, it's right downtown. It's on the north side of the street. And it's a fabulous and very full and diverse gallery. And Jill, you've shown there, you said 6 years, but you've had shows, solo shows.
This will be my fifth show.
Okay. And do you paint all the time?
All day, every day.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. And so you've told us about this show. Where else do your inspirations come from? Because you've got a lot of quirky animals.
Yeah, they just come from everywhere. And it's funny because if I sit down, try to think of an idea, it just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more like I'll be walking the dog and I'll see something and I'll think, oh, you know, what if Alfred E. Newman was bullfighting or, you know, just random?
My cousin, of course. yeah, that's what seems to happen with, when you say that out loud, I'm thinking, yeah, I can see you walking and seeing this and then putting it together with something completely and then making it look as though that's the way it's always been. Until you start looking at it and thinking about it. Does the painting bring you a lot of joy?
Oh, yeah. It can be a really frustrating process. It can be really hard to get there. But when you get there, it's incredible. It's especially after, I mean, I feel like I've been working at it really for 30 years now. And when I first started painting, there weren't so many happy moments. And the longer you do it, the easier they come and the more often they come. And I finally feel like I've gotten to the point where I've got enough tools in my toolbox that it's like, nice. Oh, this is fun.
Yeah. And do you find, because my first guest was also not painting as long as you, although I think she's possibly a little older than you, but she has found that the arts, finding comfort and compassion and a way of dealing with some of the hard times in life, which many of us are going through, and having art in your life enables you to express.
Absolutely, and I hope that's something that I can share. If I'm at home painting all day and I'm not putting much of myself out there, I hope this is my way of giving other people a laugh or, you know, a smile or whatever. And that's
I can guarantee that. Tomorrow evening, again, part of Art Walk. So now you've seen three fabulous galleries that are going to be showing. Well, two galleries and a space, which is Vintage Hardware. And then River Sea Gallery, where you will see Jill McVarish and Dave Benz, or Benz and Chang. And also, I understand Lucy Barna is going to be playing music for that show, and she's quite delightful. And More Art in the Alcove by Jesse Narens, who's another Portland artist. And then, of course, Imogen is Bethany Rowland. Lightbox Gallery is showing our photographic gallery, Fairy Tales and Nuclear Bombs. I have no idea what that is, but we'll all be finding out. And then Simon Levine's going to be playing music at Gully's. There's art all over town tomorrow night, not to mention Fleetwood Mac, well, sort of, at the Liberty, and music all over town as well. Astoria is hopping. Across the river is hopping. Down the coast is hopping. It's a crazy, wild, wacky, wonderful art weekend. So I hope all of you will take advantage of it. And congratulations, Jill, and thank you so much for bringing us your art. I always look forward to it. And I have, as I mentioned, I have Jennifer Goodenberger here for something entirely different. Not really. It's still in the arts. And I'm giving them 5 minutes. That's it. And Brian is here with her. Mm-hmm. Brian, I don't know if I've met you before.
Oh, we have not met before.
Okay. So is this your first time on
KMUN? It sure is.
Is it your first time on the radio?
No, in a past life, I've been able to
past
do this
life.
A few
okay.
times.
But you are, or you were, a KMUN virgin. you well, are no longer.
I hope it doesn't show.
Well, it's all done. That was easy. So tell us what is, I can just say that it's not happening this weekend, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. It's the 28th of October, which is the last Saturday in October, and it is the first annual Fine Artists Fair at the First Presbyterian Church, which takes up a whole block. But the entrance for this is on Harrison and 11th. I'm sure you'll find your way. They'll probably have signage. Tell us about it, Brian and Jennifer. Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Carol. It's good to be here.
Jennifer knows radio because she used to be a programmer here on KMU and classical music,
That's
of
right.
course.
That's right.
What are you just Are you going to do music there too, or just showing your art?
I'm going to be showing my art, and of course, have my CDs for sale.
Of course,
of course. Yep. But we're going to have probably about 25 artists, and with a lot of different disciplines: fused arts, painting, photography, some food vendors also. And it's just going to be this incredible showing of artwork. And we're hoping.
What made the First Presbyterian Church decide to jump in on this, considering how much is going on in this town already? The more the merrier, as far as I'm concerned. And of course, you're probably, because you've been showing at one of the other churches for years.
Carol, one of the things that is kind of driving this for us is the opportunity to give artisans an opportunity to show their work. Sell if the buying public is interested, but also to benefit the Clatsop Emergency Food Bank, which is housed in the First Presbyterian Church as well.
So a percentage of the sales will go to
all of the sales. All of the rental spaces for the booths will go to that. The artisans get to keep their proceeds.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. I hadn't gotten that connection, so that gives a solid core. And again, the other showings are at other times of the year. So having this kind of thing go on each month would be fine with me. And different venues also for people who might not even know what it means to go to an art show at a gallery, especially some people are intimidated. Go to your local church and find out, oh, my God, look at this. This is fabulous. And these people also show at galleries all over town. Or you can, it's all free to go and see the art and see what it does for
you. We have some
you.
Wonderful people coming in. Jamie Boyd is coming in with her fused glass. Robert Pullman will be doing portraits there.
Oh,
you know,
fun.
So we have jewelry.
Bridget. Is going to
Bridget Wilsey will be there with her. She has these beautiful found object art jewelry that she makes that's just really stunning. And somebody will be doing vintage art that is original to somebody else but is all vintage and bringing that in.
Is that like resale kind of?
It would have been I guess I can't speak to that. Not necessarily.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. I think it was just art that was. And I'll be having my I have a new line I'm putting out that is exciting about the piano. And
Using fabrics, though?
I'm not doing fabrics at the moment. Right now I'm focusing on photography and photographing the insides of pianos.
I can't keep up with this woman. She paints, she sings, she plays piano, and she does all this different kinds of art. And for full disclosure, one of her pieces is hanging over my bed forever.
Okay.
So, Ryan, what about you? Are you an artist too?
I'm not. I've been fortunate to be able to hang around a lot of nice artists, and and an opportunity like this particular show gives exposure to a lot of local artists. There are a lot of very talented people here, and this show, again, benefits the food bank, but it also helps benefit the artists too.
Absolutely.
And we have a few spaces left, too, if anybody is listening and would like to participate, too. So and they can call my home phone, and that number, so you're calling Jennifer, and my number is 503-325-5310.